The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome back to the program once again, Afternoons with Mike, here brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. And I have a guest today that is also involved as a university president, not from Palm Beach, but the president of Florida Christian University. That's a college that's been around since 1985. And I am privileged to be sitting today with Bruno Portagliotti. And he is, again, the president. Welcome, Bruno.
Thank you, Mike. It's my privilege to be here with you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
It's such a joy to get to know you. And as we had talked, I was not familiar with the university, and there's a whole lot of history that Florida Christian brings, not only to its students, but to, obviously, Orlando itself, and with the impact that you guys are making here in Florida. Your major impact, it appears, is also beyond our borders, and you have students from all over the world. And
over 45 nations.
Oh, my goodness. Now, we're going to learn a lot about Bruno in this next hour, and I just can't wait for this to unpack and unfold. But Bruno, just as a way of introduction, you have a degree as an attorney, as a lawyer, a JD degree, and you thought, I'm sure, like many of us did, that your life was going to go one direction, and you, just with a smile on your face, would have been happy in those directions. But God just has this way of redirecting us, doesn't he?
He does.
It's always fun to see that happen. But tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you said that you were not born in the States. Give us the history.
Sure. So once again, thank you so much. Happy to be here with you guys. I was born in Brazil, in São Paulo, Brazil, which is a, you know, the big city, kind of like New York, over 20 million residents in the city of São Paulo. Came to the U.S. in 1999 with my family, my nuclear family, four of us, didn't speak a single word of English at that time. Hmm. And, but I was able to, you know, I went to middle school, high school, and I was able to learn in school. And, at that time, my dad took over a theological seminary, which the president, the founder, had just passed away, recently had passed away. And the wife was leading the seminary, and she was, you know, crying out to God for help. Mm-hmm. She just, you know, was desperate for help. So when we came in 1999, my dad took over what used to be Florida Theological Seminary, and we began to, you know, work to convert Florida Theological Seminary into Florida Christian University. Mm-hmm. Since then, I've been working at the college, at FCU.
Now, you mentioned that in the beginning, you were doing work there as an 11-year-old.
That's right, child labor. I was passing cables, I was organizing the chairs, I was making coffee, answering the phones, and just helping out in any way that I can, that I could. And then I went on to, you know, serve in different capacities, different departments, the academic department, student services department. You know, I was administrative assistant to my dad, really, who was the president. And it became a passion of mine, mm-hmm. education, and especially a principled approach, you know, to education, mm-hmm. a Christian approach to higher education.
Right. You know, isn't it true that so many sources of education in this day and age in the United States, shocking departure from that very aspect, Christian approach.
Even those who, you know, originated as a Christian institution, we see some of the major universities in our nation.
Yeah, like Harvard and Princeton.
They started out as a theological seminary, mm-hmm. right? And now we see that, you know, there's been a departure from that, as you said.
Yeah.
So that's something that's very important to us. And we've always, you know, made it a point to stay true to our essence, you know, to our foundation, to biblical principles, to, you know, be a kingdom-minded university. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God has honored that.
Mm. Now tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that growing up in a home, as you have done with a minister dad, so you've heard about the Lord, you've heard about the Bible, and you've seen it lived out in a way in front of you your entire life. But there's still that personal encounter time.
Oh, yes. I, at the age of seven, I was baptized at my own house. We actually started a church at our house in Brazil. It was just a cell group, just a small group. And from that small group, it turned into 50 people, and then it turned into a church. And now there are over seven churches in Brazil that have continued to this day from that small group. Thousands of members, it has grown significantly. And I was baptized, in my house at the age of seven. So that's when my experience with the Lord started. I wasn't born in a Christian household. My parents were Catholics at the time when I was first born. But basically, since I can remember, I've been a Christian.
Mm-hmm. So they came into this way of living in the United States, moving over from Brazil. What a different culture change that had to be for you guys.
It was, especially when it's, when you don't know the language, it's a different culture, like you said, but you also, it's a whole new process, right? You have to change what we say that once you come to the U.S., you have to change the chip in your head,
yeah.
right? You have to adapt. You have
that's
to,
right.
Begin to live the
a
customs.
New SIMS card, a SIM card.
Exactly.
That's it.
But we have seen God be, just so faithful throughout this whole time, and just, his favor, his blessings, his mercy in so many different ways.
Now, many people would say that the nuances of English, and especially American English, it had to be a very difficult thing to adapt to at the age where you were. Did you find it to be that way, or did it just kind of like happen quickly?
It took about 6 months to start understanding, and being able to take an exam in class, right? In school, because the teacher would put a test in front of me, and I would be like, I don't know what this is saying. I don't know what to do,
mm-hmm.
And it was like that for some time. But I had some angels in my life also who helped, would just a pastor friend of mine. He would sit with us and translate, and just he was just such a blessing in our lives.
Wow. And you now speak three languages and are able to carry on in all three.
Yep.
That's three Spanish, languages. Portuguese, and of course,
in English,
American. I'm not so sure that the people in England would think that we do that well, but it is what it is. And that's the way it is.
Yep. But there are so many languages in my head that, sometimes I feel like I don't speak anything. It's a big mixture.
Mm-hmm. I've often wondered what it's like for somebody like yourself who is not only bilingual, but trilingual, able to speak in those different, not only the language itself, but you've got this, a little bit of a dialect mm-hmm. or an accent.
An accent, yes.
Where I can hear it, but it's not strong. It's not super strong. Sometimes people's accents from whatever dialect they came from, it's so still apparent in their new language that I have a hard time, catching on to it. Not so with you. So that's just very exciting. But trying to keep it all sorted in the mind when you are excited, what language comes out when you're excited, like when you start talking to yourself, is it in English? Is it in Portuguese?
Well, it depends who I'm talking to as well. If I'm talking to my wife, for the most part, it's in English, but then we break out in Portuguese as well, because she's American, but she speaks Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk in both languages. When I talk to my brother, even though we came here at the same age, we only speak, and he obviously speaks Portuguese as well. He only speaks English with me.
Mm-hmm.
He only talks to me in English, with my parents in Portuguese, with other friends in Spanish. So it depends on the occasion, on the environment, who I'm talking to, obviously, but it's a blessing
mm-hmm.
to be able to communicate in three languages for sure.
Oh, that is a neat thing that I will probably never experience.
No, don't say that.
I think it's way too late. And I think my day in the sun for that one is long gone, but that's okay. And I am just grateful to meet people like you who have a brain that is in full functioning all the way around. I'm talking today to Bruno Portagliotti, and he is the president of Florida Christian University. You know, when you move over to the United States from a country like that, you mentioned that you didn't know English at all. And did your dad have a lot of background that made him more comfortable than that when he made the move?
No, the move was entirely made in faith. It was a step of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time, my parents spoke even less English than I did. And to this day, you know, it's not easy for them because they came at a certain age. It's a little more complicated when you're a little older, right? You know, my parents are entrepreneurs. They work really hard. And they didn't let that be a barrier, become a limitation for them. So
the church life that you came to Orlando when you moved here, where did you guys land?
So when I came, when I first came, I landed in Orlando, and I came to, I started attending an Assemblies of God church, a Brazilian church. After some time, I attended First Baptist Church of Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And served there and was there for 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got to experience the great teaching of Dr. David Youth.
Love Dr. David Youth, Danny DeArmas, the whole team there. They're amazing people.
Mm-hmm. They are indeed. And what a wonderful area to grow up in, and what a beautiful church to be a part of. And we love the folks over at First Baptist. I'd mentioned to you that I was privileged on the Good Friday broadcast to have David Youth as my guest. And,
yes.
And we sat and talked for an hour on Good Friday and the implications of Easter. And you know, I like Resurrection Sunday better personally, but what a privilege it is. And he is a walking theological dictionary.
He is so humble. Incredibly knowledgeable, has a doctorate, right? A degree, but not just that. So, you know, you can have the degrees and not have the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
He has the anointing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he is so humble.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And growing up now, you're getting all accustomed to Central Florida life. That had to be, again, a lot different than what you had experienced before. And so when you were at that age, when you're kind of making this entry and getting acclimated, what would be some of your fondest early memories of Orlando?
You know, it was amazing for us to move here and just be able to pick up a bicycle and just ride around the neighborhood. I couldn't do that in Brazil.
And why? And I'm saying why?
For safety reasons.
Okay. All right.
Because we lived in it was a very good region in São Paulo, and we were close. For example, we were only 3 blocks away from our school.
Mm-hmm. So keeping in mind, your city would have been the big city then.
Would have been, you know, it's the equivalent of New York or even bigger than New York. You know, just as a reference, São Paulo has the highest number of helicopters per capita. People ride their helicopters to go. If you know, there's a lot of disparity in Brazil, right? You have the rich class and you have the not so affluent class, right? Mm-hmm. And those who are very affluent, they ride their helicopters to work. You know, they go to a shopping mall, shopping center in their helicopters. They go to their beach home in their helicopters. And then, you know, you have to ride around in bulletproof cars, when you have means.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in a great area. Our school was only 3 blocks away, but I would have to go with either a security guard to school, you know, walk to school with a security guard, or my grandpa would have to take me. I couldn't ride my bike, you know, just by myself around the neighborhood. We had a security guard right outside the house. And we had some encounters. We had some experiences where my parents were robbed a few times. My dad was the hostage in a big robbery that took place. My mom was almost kidnapped, or she was kidnapped, but she was able to leave. She actually started, praying, just crying out for the blood of Jesus while she was in the car with the two kidnappers.
Wow.
And she started screaming out, the blood of Jesus has power. The blood of Jesus has power. And they just, they got scared. They stopped. and opened the door and she left.
Oh, wow. She was delivered. That's great.
She was delivered.
Yeah. That's
so
wonderful.
When we came here, Mike, it was just so different to be able to be free. Mm-hmm. We experienced freedom. And, you know, I'm not bad-mouthing Brazil. Brazil's amazing. It's such an incredible nation. It has so many, you know, amazing natural resources. The people are incredible, so affectionate, you know, so caring, so loving, so warm. The food is indescribable. Mm-hmm. The food in Brazil is indescribable. It's a beautiful country, but it has, you know, some safety issues.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and not everywhere, but in Sao Paulo, that's how it is in Sao Paulo. Yeah.
Well, that is a new day for you then to get to go out and enjoy what so many of us in America have really taken for granted. Just that ability. You know, as a kid, I was able to ride my bike everywhere and we'd go out. We'd spent the entire day in the summertime outdoors. And that's something yes. that kids today really don't do as much. Maybe they should. It would be better. But safety issues are wonderful. I'm talking today to Bruno Portagliotti, and we're going to be back with him in a moment. We'll find out more about his involvement at Florida Christian University. And it's really exciting to see how that God is using this man and God is using this university here in Central Florida. This is Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Having fun here in the studio today talking to Bruno Portagliotti, and he is with Florida Christian University. He is the president of that fine institution, and it's really been a joy today to get to hear the story of this man and his family moving over from Brazil, now part of a church in Brazil that at some point, your particular church, you would describe it as a spirit-filled church.
Right. Right.
And the kind of the overall covering of the church started putting maybe some pressures on your congregation. Tell us about that.
That's correct. So this is a church that in Brazil, it's one of the largest churches in Brazil. There are over 70,000 members spread out throughout the country, but predominantly in one city in the state of Minas Gerais. And in this church called Lagoinha, Orlando Church, meaning Little Creek, is because of the region, there's a little creek that goes through it. They were actually kicked out of the Baptist Convention because they believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So they were the very first ones to be kicked out of the Baptist Convention. And then now we start seeing a lot of Baptist churches in Brazil who they don't have to be kicked out anymore because the vast majority of them have become spirit-filled as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is what people would refer to as a revival there?
I believe Brazil is a country that is prone for revival. Brazilians are just so hungry for God. They're on fire. They believe in the gifts. You know, they want to see, they want to do greater things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the Bible talks about. They believe in the things that were spoken, that are spoken in the Bible, you know, that were done, the miracles, that they can still be done today, and they want to see it. And they, you know, and when someone is sick in their family, they want to see God move.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see the healing. And Brazil is a very charismatic, very, very on fire. So, you know, we have seen a move of God, a very powerful move of God, in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Send recently here in the US in Orlando, about 3 years ago. With Daniel Colenda, Luengo, Andy Bird, you know, all of those guys coming together and putting together the Send, you know, the biggest evangelistic event in recent times here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that. Well, the second place they chose to go to was Brazil.
Isn't that something? So these meetings, have you ever been in one of those large meetings like that in Brazil?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
No, just marvelous. Amazing. We were a part of a ministry called Adonepi, which is basically Full Gospel Businessmen International.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
how my parents came to know Christ. My dad, as an entrepreneur, you know, he was invited to a meeting, a Full Gospel Businessmen International meeting. And he attended that meeting in hopes of doing business. You know, he was there for one reason, mm-hmm. and it was to do business. And then he was just touched, you know, by God at that meeting. He had a revelation. He had a vision of all the times in his lifetime that God had spared him from something. God had blessed him and spared him from, you know, a situation. And he was very skeptical mm-hmm. of, you know, of our faith. Mm-hmm. He was Catholic, you know, but he was not a very practicing Catholic, you know, either. So he goes to this meeting to do business, and then he's hearing testimonies and, you know, testimonies over, you know, after testimonies. And then he just sees this, you know, snippet, you know, this video clip of his life and every time that God spared him. And then the speaker says, would anyone else like to say anything? And then my dad raises his hand, and my mom, you know, she cringes. She holds his knee and says, Tony, this is not the time to do business. You know, do not do that now. And he says, no, I have to share something. So he goes up and he shares, you know, listen, I don't know what you guys are doing. I don't know what's happening in here. I don't know what these testimonies, how they came to be, but I just had something happen to me, very powerful. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in a lot of these things, but I just saw a video of my life and I saw how God had spared me from all these different situations, and whatever you guys have, I want. Mm. So he became a part of that. As a family, we became a part of Full Gospel Businessman, and they have an international convention that they do. And I've been a part of those conventions. Mm-hmm. You know, I think at the age of five, I believe, I attended one of those conferences, thousands and thousands of people from all over the world. And they actually asked me to to say a prayer on stage, you know, in front of everyone. I was only 5 years old. Mm. So you're asking about attending one of those meetings. That's one that I have a recollection of.
And that would be burned in your memory without a doubt.
Absolutely.
You know, what do you say today when you hear people who are critical of groups like that, who are open to the gifts of the Spirit and would actually paint it in a negative tone and a negative sense and say, it's just emotionalism? How do you defend that?
I've seen it. I've seen the power. I've seen it happen. I've seen the miracles before my eyes. Hmm. So once your mind expands, it cannot contract again. It cannot mm-hmm. go back to what it used to be. Mm-hmm. So what I say to the, you know, to people is just, you know, experience it, give it a try, just, you know, be open to it, because if you're open, then you're going to see it. But if you're closed off, if you don't have faith, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right. And after you've seen it, after I've seen, you know, people, deaf people hear, blind people see. I've seen, you know, people in wheelchairs get up from their wheelchairs. I've seen all of that. I've seen it here in Orlando at it used to be TD Waterhouse. TD Waterhouse, which is now the Amway, you know, Amway Center. When Benny Hinn came to town, he was doing a crusade and he came to Orlando, and I saw it with my own eyes. So when you see it with your own eyes, and it doesn't have to be at a crusade, it doesn't have to be at a big stadium. Mm-hmm. It happens, you know, in our day-to-day lives. It happened 2 weeks ago at our church.
What happened 2 weeks ago?
Well, we had Bethel come from Redding, California, mm-hmm. about 2 to 3 weeks ago. And they have students go through their School of Supernatural Ministry, right? They have a School of Supernatural Ministry, and they had about 40 to 50 students who came to Orlando from Redding, California, from that school, mm-hmm. to do a time of practice, you know, of action. So they were all, you know, the students were, you know, praying over our church, giving words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and just, you know, praying for healing. And we saw healing, just amazing stuff. When you're open to it, it's incredible what you can experience.
What do you think is going to be the result of, let's say, the state of our country right now, which is feeling to many people going in a direction where there's obviously, for the first time in our lives, real problems with churches not having the same freedoms, even in America, that they've always had. And I think some would say that the mood, if you will, among a lot of churches, it's going to be open for a revival, a move of the Spirit of God. Would you agree with that?
I believe it's coming. I believe it is. You know, before every revival, there's always a time of, I believe there's always a time of almost desperation where everyone is crying out to God for something, mm-hmm. right? just wanting and crying out and just expecting God to show up in a big way. Because when we are at his feet, when we are completely surrendered, when we realize what truly matters in life, and we begin to focus, you know, on the altar, then I think we begin to experience those revivals, mm-hmm. right? When we are 100% surrendered. And that's what we're seeing more so than ever because of the situation we're living, because of the pandemic, because of COVID-19, because of our loved ones, you know, just passing away. We don't know who's going to be around us anymore. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next few days. Mm-hmm. So there are so many people just crying out to God now throughout the world, asking for a move of God. But not only because of the pandemic, because of the freedoms that we have lost, because of, you know, the social political situations in certain countries. I mean, if you think of Venezuela, what's happening in Venezuela, it's just, you know, it's outrageous. It's so sad mm-hmm. what's happening there. It's a country that was so beautiful, so full of natural resources as well, oil, and rich in so many ways, prosperous in so many ways. And now, you know, they're begging for food. They don't have what to eat. They don't have anything to eat, mm-hmm. right? Because the government is taking it away. The government is limiting how much they can eat, how much they can buy. Everything is so expensive. And I don't think we ever thought that Venezuela would get to that point. But we saw the signs, and we didn't, I think the world didn't act fast enough. We saw the signs.
Isn't it amazing that the same verbiage that led Venezuela down the path that they went on is being talked about today very openly in the United States?
In the United States, and I never thought I would see that. I never thought I would see that. And that's one of the main reasons why last year in 2020, I actually ran for office as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I value, as I mentioned, you asked me what was one of the biggest changes. I value freedom. When I came to the U.S., mm-hmm. freedom. Right. It was right. freedom. It was the ability to get on my bicycle and leave and know that I was safe and know that I could do things and I could say things. You know, it's the freedom of speech. It's the freedom of religion. It's the freedom of association. All of those things that now we're beginning to see, you know, dissipate.
Mm.
They're under attack, right? Cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say anything anymore. You can't stand for something anymore. If we thought being a Christian was difficult before,
it's going to be worse.
We had no idea.
Yeah, right.
I know. And now, you know, it's difficult more so than it was before. But imagine in the future, it's going to be a lot worse. So as Christians, we also have to, stand up, do our part, and we have to be a part of every sphere of society. We have to infiltrate society. Because if we don't take our positions of authority, then the enemy will.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned getting involved last year in as a run for the Florida House.
Right.
And I know that you weren't elected, mm-hmm. but you did very well in the showing of that first attempt. Mm-hmm. Will there be other attempts for you?
Only God knows. You know, I prayed about it so much before running. I was invited by the party to run. Because of my involvement with, you know, government politics in several ways, with campaigns and committees in the city of Orlando and connections that God, you know, opened up, doors that God opened up. So they invited me to run. And I thought about it for 6 months. I prayed about it for 6 months. And every month would go by and I would, you know, cry out to God and say, God, you haven't spoken. And they need an answer. They're going to find someone else. Second month, God, you haven't spoken yet. And, you know. And then on the sixth month, I felt very strongly that I had to move forward. So I did. And we got 55,900 and something votes. Mm-hmm. My opponent, who's been in government for 16 years, she got 61,000 votes. I lost by 5,000 votes. But we had a good showing, as you said. But perhaps, you know, the victory didn't come, or it doesn't come always in numbers and winning at the ballot. You know, it comes in different ways. It comes through, you know, an impact that we have by, you know, visiting 15,000 voters. I personally knocked on over 15,000 doors.
Wow.
Not just myself. It's myself and my team, you know, 15,000 mm-hmm. doors, talking to people, especially at a time that was so challenging for everyone. They had just lost their jobs. You know, they were, you know, the majority of them had, you know, worked at Disney and Universal Studios, because my district is in Dr. Phillips, Windermere, Winter Garden, Ocoee, Gotha, which is where the majority of Disney workers and Universal Studios workers live.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them had lost their jobs, but not just people from those industries, also every industry, right? And it was a time for me to talk to them, to hear them out, to minister to them, to help in any way that I could. I was able to help people that had, you know, lost their cars. And inside this girl's car was her mom's medication and her mom's walker that she needed to be able to get around. So she calls me and says, "Hey, Bruno, you know, I don't know much about you, but I know that you're running and I just lost my car. I lost my job and my car was towed away. And now they're charging me $350, you know, to get my car, but I don't have the money and my mom's medication is in there and she needs it." And then through those interactions, you know, we're able to help that young lady,
mm-hmm.
right? So I don't know what God had in store. I still don't know the full picture, you know, but I'm trusting him that he is in control. He's always in control and only he knows if I'll do it again.
Well, you know, he does and he knows that and he'll make it clear to you. But I have personally found that kind of experience that you went through where you felt after those 6 months and waiting, and then you finally came down to that point where it was very clear as to what you should do. That's not an accident. That wasn't for nothing.
Right.
So it is going to be for something, and we'll all wait and see how Amen. God leads and the faith, and would never want to put pressure. But I am reminded by what you said, by the words of our good friend Dave Zanotti at the Public Square, who also believes that it's going to take people like you, people who have convictions, people who have deep feelings for American values. It's going to take their stepping out, taking the risk
yes.
that you did, and getting involved personally in the process of politics. Most people don't like politics. They don't want to get near it.
Yes.
You know, but the truth
it's
of it is.
It's a sacrifice. It is a huge sacrifice on
yeah.
your family, on your finances, on your time away from work, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a step of faith that you have to take, but it's, you know, for a great cause. It's to serve the nation. It's to mm-hmm. serve the state. It's to serve the community. And it's to ensure that those values remain,
mm-hmm.
that the principles by which our country was founded, they remain.
It's critical that we fight during this time for what is right, for the values that we have loved. And, you know, years ago, I was part of a radio station when I first began in this business back in the 70s, and it was called The Dangers of Apathy. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think that show went off the air because of apathy.
I yes.
think it was. But it was really pointed toward the fight against communism, the fight against socialism, and the deceptive ways that the speakers of this program would see that our nation is being threatened by this way of thought and the Marxist views. And you know, it was not the most exciting of shows, I'll be honest with you. It was a public affairs program, usually buried in radio stations across the country and ours. They ran it for public affairs requirements that the FCC would put out, not so much because of the important information. But I would listen when I was on the console during that show. I would listen to what they had to say. And it was a clear warning to America that if we're not careful, the very things, the very freedoms that you described experiencing when you moved over from Brazil could be gone.
Yes.
And they could be gone in a generation.
They could be gone in almost one presidential cycle.
Those are sober warnings that were given back then. And what Bruno Portagliatti is saying today is that these warnings are real and we need to catch and wake up and say, "Hey, God, what do you want me to do? How can I be a part?" I'll be back in a moment. We're going to hear about the exciting move of God that Bruno's church is experiencing right here in Orlando. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to The Shepherd.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. education for your soul as well as your mind.
Here in the studio today with Bruno Portigliatti, and Bruno is with Florida Christian University, another of one of the fine universities here in the Central Florida area that goes alongside so many other schools, and there are seminaries and great universities in Central Florida. There are a lot of them, and Florida Christian is one that's been around since 1985. And just before we go into talking a little bit more about your church, which I'm excited to hear about because I know that it's grown a lot, mm-hmm. and that's exciting. Let's talk a little bit about some of the programs that you do have and that you do offer at Florida Christian.
Yeah, so we offer programs in five main areas. One is theology, obviously. The other one is business administration, education, behavioral programs, and life coaching as well. So mm-hmm. we were the first institution to start teaching coaching as an academic program, as opposed to a certification of 1 week, 2 weeks. We see that it's a profession that most likely in the future will become regulated, just because so many people are becoming coaches. So we wanted to be ahead of the curve and offer those students who wish, you know, to be in that profession an academic degree. But, you know, in the behavioral side of things, we have clinical counseling. Mm-hmm. We have marriage and family therapy. In education, we have just education. And we also have a principled approach to education, which is a Christian methodology of teaching based off of a, something that was created years and years ago here in the U.S. It's an institution called Principled Approach Education. And then in business administration, we have just pure business administration, but also a lot of specializations, healthcare administration. We have cognitive neuroscience, a lot of different ones.
This principled approach, would that be the Red Books? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. So the principled approach is, so basically what they did is they created a methodology to teach young kids. It's curriculum. Christian-based curriculum for young kids, you know, for elementary school, middle mm-hmm. school, yes. high school. So we partnered with them, actually, to create the same thing for higher education.
How about that? That organization, I'm familiar with them. We've had those Red Books in our own home mm-hmm. as homeschoolers teaching America's history and America's Christian history, which is what they really emphasize in those books.
Yes.
And seeing God's hand in our great country. And it has been very clear that God has blessed America like no other country.
Oh, yes, absolutely. America is the best place to be. There's no doubt about that.
You know, you mentioned earlier in segment one, Bruno, about your love for education. In this day and age, there have been some declared moves where, let's say, emphasis on education, or at least a college education, was not in the same place that it might have been 20 years ago. How do you feel about that?
You mean Christian education?
Well, just generally getting a degree in any form of study.
Yeah, I think with, in particular, with Christian education, what's happened is that, you know, the more we have to abide by the rules of the world, the accreditation processes and the everything that is placed upon us by the government, by the agencies, by the different, entities, right? Regulatory entities. The more we have to abide by those rules, the more we lose our essence. That's what's happened. Mm-hmm. That's what I continue to see. And, you know, we struggled with that for some time because we have been a part of an organization that has taught us basically that we, you know, should not have accreditation, should not have full accreditation because of those reasons, because it takes us away from our foundation. It takes us away from the essence of the institution because they begin to place restrictions and tell you what you can teach mm-hmm. and that it's not just, you know, creationism, but it's evolution as well. It's not just, you know, you can't just hire this type of professors that profess the same faith as you do, but also these other professors, you know. And we're seeing that with a lot of Christian institutions that are being attacked because of what they believe in. But that's only happening because of the type of accreditation they have or who they submit themselves to, right? We have always been of the opinion that, you know, if we stick to the cross, if we stick to our foundation, if we stick to the values that, you know, by which our institution was founded, God would honor us and we would have the impact that we want to have on our students. But, you know, after going through that for so many years and feeling the effects of that as well, because when you're in that mindset, you're basically going at an opposite direction of the state and mm-hmm. of the regulatory agencies, and then you feel the effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're basically you're treated differently. So we found a way, and universities have to find a way to have a balance, right? To abide by the rules of the world, but not succumb to them.
Mm-hmm.
To make it very clear who you are, what you want to continue to be. And one of the things that I always share with the staff is, you know, John 15:5. It talks about, you know, the scripture says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So when I talk to our staff, to our faculty, I talk about the importance of, you know, remaining in Christ, being the branch in the vine,
mm-hmm.
so that in him and through him, we can continue to be. In him and through him, we can continue to, you know, affect lasting change in the lives of our students, irrespective of what others think, irrespective of what's going on around the world. Let's just stay true to our values.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree that college presidents like yourself and other universities, officials in those institutions are going to have to be people of courage in the days to come, because we're seeing an onslaught, this thing of control. And you're right. Just even this very morning, I was listening to Al Mohler's The Briefing, and mm-hmm. he was making the point about the fact that the more government control is given into organizations, the more that control is exuded into things that you can and can't do.
Exactly.
People that you can and can't hire.
And that is why it's so important for us believers to be a part of every sphere of society,
mm-hmm.
to be involved in the process, you know, whenever bureaucrats decide on something that will affect, you know, their constituents, many times they don't even know how that will affect them, how that's going to make them change, you know, what they do completely. But if we have a believer in there who's a part of the decision-making process, who's sitting on the table, who is, you know, a part of the conversation, sitting at the table, they can say, listen, be careful, you know, be reminded of the freedoms of speech and the freedom of religion that this country espouses,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Hmm. That's rich. We need to be careful. We need to be mindful. And God have mercy on us all. And I'm praying that a lot of people who are hearing your tone and hearing your passion will say to the Lord, here I am, send me. I think it's going to take that, isn't it?
Yes.
It's going to take people getting involved and people hearing what we need to do. And one of the Old Testament references about a group of people that I've always loved would be the reference to the sons of Issachar, who the Bible declares they understood the times and they knew what to do.
Hmm.
Now, that would be a really powerful, great description to have said of all of us, that we understand what's going on. And I think that's the first question we have to ask. Do I understand what is happening around me?
Yeah.
What is happening in my nation? What's happening in my state? We're seeing the difference right now in states and how they are being led, and by governors and by the people that are involved. Florida right now is being led well during this pandemic, and we're grateful for it.
Yes.
May God give us the courage to be sons of Issachar in the days ahead.
And the wisdom, right?
And the wisdom that goes along with it. We need that so much. Bruno, tell me a little bit about your church. I'm so excited to hear about this. There's we talked about the fact that the church is a large church, but I had no idea just how large when comparing to other churches in Brazil. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so lately I've been serving at a church that came here from Brazil, and they opened up an American ministry within the church. So I've been serving in that American service, that American ministry. And it's a church that has grown tremendously in the past, 3 years. Within only 2 years, I think we were at close to 2,000 members. Now we're close to 3,000 members. And just powerful what's happening. It's the biggest Brazilian church outside of Brazil.
What's the name of the church?
It's called Lagoinha Orlando Church, LOC.
LOC.
LOC. makes it easier. And it's just powerful what's happening in there. And, the lives that are being touched, transformed, and through not only, obviously, the services, but the ministries that the church has as well, the impact that the different ministries, have in the community. You know, I would encourage you guys to perhaps invite one of the pastors to come and share with you guys more about the church. Mm. That would be very interesting. Mm-hmm. So they can speak from, more experience and share with you guys everything they're living and how it's been for them, because it's not easy. I mean, it's a church of immigrants, a lot of it, right? You have people that are going through different needs than most other people are. You know, we have people that are just moving here and they need help with rent. They need help with, a car payment so that they can keep their car. But at the same time, you have, those who have been here for 20, 30 years who are a part of the church. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Tell us a little bit about the worship. You mentioned that you had people from Bethel in, and I think anybody that's part of the contemporary Christian worship scene would know that Bethel puts out some really amazing music.
Yes. So they were with us about 3 weeks ago, their worship team and their school of ministry, Supernatural School of Ministry, their students came, and it was powerful. It was beautiful. It was amazing. Something that we get used to here in the U.S. is because it doesn't happen as much in other countries, okay? We like order in the U.S. We like to know when things will start and when things will end. And we like to, and many times, because we like things to go so smoothly and so planned, we want things to go according to our plans, we don't allow the move of the Holy Spirit. We don't allow enough time for us to just marinate in the presence of God.
Mm.
So we end up kind of putting God in a little box and saying, you have an hour and 30 minutes to operate. You have an hour and 30 minutes to transform a life. But sometimes it takes a little more than that. Sometimes we have to, for us to invite the presence of God, it takes a little bit of time sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. We have to prepare the atmosphere for that. And sometimes the atmosphere is not prepared. It's not ready. It's not, ripe mm-hmm. for that. So that's something that we were able to experience about 3 weeks ago, which was wonderful. It doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen every Sunday. I don't think it should happen every Sunday, right? We also do have lives. We have, mm-hmm. things that we have to plan accordingly. But about 3 weeks ago, they just came and they would worship for as long as they wanted, as long as we felt that we should. And it was different.
It is different, and the music and the worship of songs like that just draw one in. And if it's not the music, we know it's not just the song, but it is exciting to hear that God, who's leading these musicians, who are leading these churches, the Lord who is doing this marvelous work of revival, I believe, in the midst mm-hmm. of even our own nation right now. And that's what we're praying for, more and more and more of.
Amen.
Now, it is in Spanish or Portuguese?
Portuguese.
Which one?
It's important. There are two services in Portuguese and one in English.
Mm-hmm.
The Portuguese service is in the morning at 11 o'clock, and then another one at 7 o'clock at night, and the English service is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm. And give us the name of the church one more time. I know it's LOC.
LOC, Lagoinha Orlando Church, located off of Kirkman and International Drive.
All right. And the website for that?
I'm not sure, but it's easier to find it on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, there you go. Bruno Portagliotti, it's been a great time with you today.
Likewise.
Thank you for coming by and being with us on the
Thank
Shepherd.
You, Mike. Thank you so much. I welcome you to come and visit us at Florida Christian University. It would be lovely to have you there and all of your listeners as well. But I want to say, like you said, we have amazing institutions in the state of Florida and Central Florida. And I know Palm Beach Atlantic is sponsoring this show, mm-hmm. and they're a wonderful institution, a phenomenal institution that I invite people to get to know as well.
Thank you so much for that. Very kind of you. And friends, thank you for being with us today. Hope you've enjoyed the chat half as much as I did. And we'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.